from the historic campus of Hillsdale College in Hillsdale, Michigan, where the good, the true, and the beautiful are taught, nurtured, and honored. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour, bringing the activity and education of the college to listeners across the country.
Conservative, Christian, and pro-life voices. Those are the most suppressed voices on the platform, and we've got a lot of data that backs that up.
This is your host, Scott Bertram, and that's Floyd Brown. We'll talk to him later on in today's program. Floyd is the co-author of Big Tech Tyrants, How Silicon Valley Stealth Practices Addict Teens, Silent Speech, and Steal Your Privacy. Up first on today's program, Dr. Ken Calvert, Hillsdale Professor of Ancient History, to talk about Roman models of government to which our founders looked. We're joined by Dr. Ken Calvert, Professor of Ancient History here at Hillsdale College. Dr. Calvert, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Scott. Great to be here.
Talk today a bit about the founders.
Yes.
And the Roman Republic,
right,
where they found some inspiration and some models and perhaps some things they didn't want to
right.
emulate, right?
Right.
So I want to start a little bit with our founders, right? Were they learned men? When we think about them, what was their knowledge of history and philosophy?
Well, you know, we say here at Hillsdale, classical education. We talk about classical education. We talk about the liberal arts. This is how the founders were educated. They had delved deeply into the ancient past, into the classical past. They'd read their Aristotle. They'd read their Cicero. You know, they knew their ancient history. In many ways, Adams, Jefferson, Madison, these guys were all classicists.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much Ben Franklin, although he read his classical works. Washington was pretty decent at Latin and definitely had read a number of ancient works. So all of these guys, they had a language, they had a set of philosophical beliefs that they shared that came out of the classical world. And in particular, in their study of Aristotle, Demosthenes, the Democratic Athens, and the Roman Republic. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's go in that direction.
Yeah.
Who were the founders specifically looking to among the ancient civilizations for guidance as they were trying to put
right.
things together?
Yeah. Right. So you'll notice in the form of government that they established in our Constitution that we have what we call a balance of powers.
Mm-hmm.
That comes right out of the Roman Republic, you know, and the idea that you're trying to balance these powers. It also comes out of Aristotle and his study among the Greeks of various constitutions, but you also have that in Rome. In particular, they would be interested in Cicero. Cicero, who came along at the end of the Republic, one of the greatest thinkers of the ancient world and certainly in the Latin world. You know, unfortunately, he came along at the end of the Roman Republic, and some of our founders commented on that and said such things as, well, he may have come too late for his republic, but, you know, he's right on time for ours, right? And so they studied Cicero and used his understanding of, you know, a balanced, mixed government,
mm-hmm.
used his understanding of natural law, the whole idea that humans are endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. This comes out of, you know, Scripture. It comes out of Aristotle as well as Cicero. A very, very important idea. Yeah.
Well, what qualities of government specifically did they identify and try to emulate?
Right. So they had a suspicion of democracy, as the Roman Republic did. We see this in our House of Representatives. They served for 2 years,
mm-hmm.
right? And it is a huge number of people constantly, you know, arguing. And that's kind of by design, really.
Yeah.
And then you have the Senate in our Constitution, which is very much a reflection of the Senate of Rome, in that it is designed to be wise, judicious, kind of more long-term. You know, they have a six-year term and oversee what is going on in the House of Representatives. So they're kind of the wise break that's put on things.
Right.
Now, our founders did not like the aristocracy of Rome that was based upon blood and birth. They wanted a natural aristocracy. Our founders talked about people who rose to the Senate and to that wisdom because of their own genius and learnedness and work and all of that. So they wanted a more natural aristocracy. But that balance of power there, very important. We see this in the word Senate. Mm-hmm. We see this in the presidential authority of veto, of veto, meaning I forbid it. That's the tribunician power of Rome. The tribune was able to say to the Senate, I forbid it, if he heard anything going on there that he didn't like.
Dr. Ken Calvert with us, professor of ancient history here at Hillsdale College. So they found things they liked,
yes,
and wanted to copy, to emulate.
Right.
What did they see, or where did they see the mistakes in the past, and what were they trying to avoid?
Right. There are so many things that our founders understood and were trying to avoid. And what they wanted to do was to look closely at the collapse of the Roman Republic and understand how to avoid that. And so that's something that they really worked very hard on. And one of those aspects is a rise of party politics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, believe it or not, they wanted to try and avoid factionalism, which is something that really destroyed Rome. To keep the dynast or the tyrant from rising to power, they wanted to avoid that, and of course avoid the movement towards those dynasts, those great tyrants creating a new monarchy. Wanted to do everything they could to avoid that rule of one and the destruction of natural rights and natural freedom within a government. Yeah.
When it came time to finalize things, of course, there were arguments about this detail, that detail.
Yeah.
But in these matters,
right,
were they largely in agreement about what the government should look like?
Absolutely. You know, the Constitution was decidedly a well-argued, well-crafted document with the Bill of Rights added, you know, by those who had some reservations and mm-hmm. complaints about the Constitution in order to limit the power of this government. But it was decidedly a wise and judicious approach to the establishment of the U.S. Constitution. I wanted to mention a figure that all of the founders really appreciated, and that was a man named Cato the Younger.
Mm-hmm.
There was a play written in 1713 by a man named Joseph Addison called Cato. And Cato stood up against Julius Caesar. He stood up against the tyrants. He stood up against those dynasts, those people that our founders wanted to avoid. And the play by Joseph Addison really was, in the founders' mind, a great, media presentation of what all of this meant. And Cato actually committed suicide rather than give in to Caesar.
Dr. Ken Calvert with us, who we talk about the Roman Republic and our founders. Are there lines that you can draw from the Republic to the founders that we would still recognize today?
Today, yeah. Well, I think that, you know, we see in today's politics the rise of a lot of loud voices, a lot of incivility. You see in our society, honestly, some of the negative aspects of democracy. In which democracy is a very emotional form of government. It's mm-hmm. driven by emotion. It's hard to get it, once it gets going, to slow it down and say, let's think about these things, right? And, of course, education and classical education helps people to slow down and think through what they really want in life. What our founders had tried to do, and what I think we really need to recapture, is an understanding of, first of all, true classical education in the public sphere, K through 12, is an understanding that this has to be something that is rationally and argued with civility, that this can't be something that just is a gut emotional reaction to the next problem or need that comes down the pike. Unfortunately, in most schools and in our society, it's all about me.
Mm.
It's all about my feelings. It's all about what I think I need, or, you know, all of that, rather than a real civil conversation. And I'm not just saying this about one side. I think that both sides, you know, are delving into what is a very dangerous area, And we need to look back to our founders to understand how to better handle this. Yeah, and that's what we do at Hillsdale, right? Yeah.
Dr. Ken Calvert, professor of ancient history here at Hillsdale College, thanks for joining us here on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Thank you, Scott.
Up next, we talk with Floyd Brown, co-author of the recent book, Big Tech Tyrants. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. Welcome back to the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I'm Scott Bertram. You can get an email every time there's a new episode of this show. Go to radiohour.hillsdale.edu and enter your address, radiohour.hillsdale.edu. We're joined by Floyd Brown, co-author of Big Tech Tyrants, How Silicon Valley's Stealth Practices Addict Teens, Silence Speech, and Steal Your Privacy. He's also on campus as part of our latest CCA lecture series on Hillsdale College's campus. Floyd, thanks for joining us.
It's great to be with you. I've had a great time here at Hillsdale, and everybody's treated me so nicely.
We'll try to continue that trend through the course of this interview, but no guarantees. The title of your book, Big Tech Tyrants, has a sinister tone. Do you believe these tech giants have sinister intentions?
Well, I think many of them started with the best of intentions. But as they've grown, they have morphed into companies that are really more interested in growing market share and creating monopoly dominance than they are in, you know, just providing those services that they early on provided. And so they've morphed and changed as time has gone on. I mean, I think one of the best examples is Google. Mm-hmm. When Google started, you know, it was a great innovation. It started with a page rank, and in essence, it was helping you find the most interesting pages about whatever you were searching on. Well, that stopped about 10 years in, and instead they started giving you the content they thought you needed to have. So rather than just letting you pick from the content that is the most interesting online, they began steering the search results and giving you the content that they thought was the best content for you to read. Not necessarily what you wanted to read, but what they thought you should read.
What makes those algorithms that they use so addicting to us? We keep going back to these tech giants.
Well, there's a lot of interesting things. I mean, early on, you know, with Facebook, for example, when you would get a piece of content and engage with that content, they would just give you more of that content.
Mm-hmm.
And so you would engage more and you'd find it more interesting. And, you know, I remember I was an early adopter. My son had been a part of Facebook when he was on campus. And he said to me, he said, "Hey, Dad, this thing I've been using on campus is now opening up to anybody. You ought to try this Facebook." And so I got on Facebook and I tried it, and it was giving me all of the content I wanted. I really liked it. I liked the content it gave me. That was great, really, up until about 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And with the election of Donald Trump, everything changed at Facebook, because Donald Trump was extremely effective at using Facebook. And a lot of Mark Zuckerberg's, the owner of Facebook's, friends said, "Hey, you gave this guy Donald Trump free rein on your platform. He used it to get elected. Shame on you, Mark." And so Mark had to rewrite all the algorithms to diminish the effectiveness, really, of, I think, conservative, Christian, and pro-life voices. And those are the most suppressed voices on the platform. And we've got a lot of data that backs that up.
When we look at that, I mean, Facebook and now Twitter as well has a default to where you don't see your timeline in the way it comes across. You see top tweets, which some algorithm at Twitter is determining the things that they think you want to see, which is talked about earlier.
But it's not the things you want to see. So it was great. It used to be the things you want to see. But all of a sudden, they got into the business of propagandizing, and so it became the things they think you need to read. It's kind of like, cough syrup. It's something your mother gave you. You know, you've got to have that cough syrup. I don't want any cough syrup. Well, no, this is what you need to see. And it's especially interesting, and it's been interesting, you know, watching this last election that just happened, because, you know, I personally was a Donald Trump supporter, and yet in Google News, in Apple News, in Facebook, in all of these products, I was just getting, you know, inundated with anti-Trump news. Mm-hmm. And I would do everything I could to try and get some pro-Trump news, but it was almost impossible.
Floyd Brown is with us, author of Big Tech Tyrants, here on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. Not only that, but we know Facebook and Twitter, especially toward the tail end of the campaign, seemingly suppressing bad stories about Joe Biden's candidacy, and then seemingly putting warnings on stories about the Trump candidacy. And this brings up a whole slew of other questions about how closely they're looking at what's going on the side and how much they are going to do this perhaps in the next 4 years. Can that continue in that way?
Well, it's extremely disingenuous for them to do this. For example, at Western Journal, which is the publication that I'm the publisher of, we do an election broadcast, and we do it every election year. We do, you know, this about 7 or 8 hour broadcast where we call the different elections. We started it in 2016. We were very successful. We called all of the states that Donald Trump won and did it earlier. We called Florida, for example, 2.5 hours ahead of Fox News. So we had our own decision desk. And then we did it again in 2018, and then we did it again this year, 2020. And they've been extremely popular with the people that follow us on Facebook. We have about 40 million followers on Facebook. And so this year, when we were live streaming, all of a sudden, when we went live, there was a great big huge warning label on our video that says, the information here about the election may not be valid. Click to find out from Google what's the valid information about the election. Well, I would advocate that our calls were more accurate than those that were given by AP to Google. And in fact, we called North Carolina early. It looks like North Carolina's staying for Donald Trump. And, we didn't call Georgia. We didn't call Pennsylvania. We didn't call some of these other states. But we were extremely accurate. But despite that, Google decided it was going to put this huge, you know, banner right across our video saying we weren't accurate. And frankly, that's defamation, in my opinion. So, you know, as I look at the type of content that is suppressed on these platforms, and we've done a lot of studies of this, the content that is most suppressed, first, it's pro-life content. Mm. If you have pro-life content, it's almost impossible to find. You know, there's a great little news site called LifeSite News. Mm-hmm. And you barely can find them through the major platforms. You have to hear about it by word of mouth and then go there directly because they are so unbelievably suppressed. Next is Christian. And people say, oh, no, they don't manipulate Christian search. I said, then go home and Google Franklin Graham, because what you'll find when you Google Franklin Graham is really less about Franklin Graham and more about the people that don't like Franklin Graham. In fact, I do it regularly so I can see what's on there. The other day it came up, 1,000 Christian leaders that have called on Franklin Graham to resign because of his support of Donald Trump from MSNBC. That was the first thing that came up.
We'll hold right there, talking with Floyd Brown, co-author of Big Tech Tyrants. More in a moment. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of the Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere Ag and Turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Roots.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
So whether you're an experienced storyteller or still working on that first book,
now is the time to check us out.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
Welcome back to the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I'm Scott Bertram. We're talking with Floyd Brown, co-author of Big Tech Tyrants, How Silicon Valley's Stealth Practices Addict Teens, Silent Speech, and Steal Your Privacy. So you mentioned you've got 40 million fans on Facebook for Western Journal. So it's 40 million people who have said, I want to see content from Western Journal. And yet Facebook gets in between and says, no, you don't want to see this content. So how do you, as the publisher, make sure you're reaching that audience that wants to hear from you?
So it's evolved over time. So in 2016, content from Western Journal was seen in the Facebook news feed 11 billion times. So we served, you know, we had 40 million followers. That led to, you know, this 11 billion impressions in the Facebook news feed.
Mm-hmm.
Then all of the suppression started. Our traffic from Facebook dropped a full 90%. I think this last year we were back up to about 1.5 to 2 billion as opposed to 11 billion. And what we've done is we've just turned to alternative distribution methods. Push notification, email. We now have 2 million followers on email, something we didn't have when we were just focused on social media. So we're always looking to new and different places. We've had a great run of traffic from Parler, where we were an early adopter to Parler. We got involved early. The system is not perfect. Parler is a little bit clunky, but, you know, there's some really good people there. So what you have to do is just be innovative, constantly changing, constantly aware. But it's sad because I don't think someone could start a Western Journal today like I did in 2008 because the suppression of conservatives is so great. And you know, when I got started, it really didn't exist on the platforms. Mm-hmm. And so when people said, hey, I want content from Western Journal, guess what? They got content from Western Journal, you know, and, but the, what I really don't like is the arrogance of these people that literally are saying, hey, we're going to decide what you get. You aren't smart enough to decide what content you're going to get. It would be akin to this. In the old days, you know, when you make a telephone call, it would be like you're trying to place a call to someone and you'd go, hello, operator, I want to talk to Ted Cruz. And the operator would come on and say, okay, now what is it you want to say to Ted Cruz? And then you'd have to explain what it was you wanted to say. And then the operator would say, well, we're sorry. We don't think Ted Cruz should get that message, so we're not going to put your call through. And that's, in essence, what's happening on these communication networks today. They're only putting through the information they think you need to have.
Floyd Brown is with us, author of Big Tech Tyrants, co-author, How Silicon Valley's Stealth Practices Addict Teens, Silent Speech, and Steal Your Privacy. There's also a discussion about Section 230 and reforms. Can you, in layman's terms, describe what Section 230 is? And is the answer to this more parlors, more alternatives, or is there a need for some sort of action on behalf of lawmakers?
So, you've just opened a can of worms, because that was a big question.
It's at least a two-part question, yeah. Probably more.
So, there should be more companies and more innovation in this space. The problem is that the dominance of Google and Facebook make it difficult to launch those kind of products. For example, what happened over time when these companies were smaller was they would accumulate add-on companies that they would buy, mm-hmm. bolt on, and one of them was called DoubleClick that Google bought. DoubleClick was an ad server, and it was the early way that you would auction, if you had a website, you would auction in real time your space to other people that might want to buy the ad space. And so Google was very smart. They bought DoubleClick, and then all of a sudden they started to game the system. So when the auction was held, Google, which is, you know, the biggest purveyor of ads in the world, would get the last look at any auction. It would be like, you know, putting something on Sotheby's, and so, you know, people would be bidding, and somebody would think, hey, man, I just got a great deal in this auction. And then Sotheby's comes in and bids one penny more because they get that last look and takes it away from you. So they have unbelievable market power in this whole ad network. So it makes it difficult for monetization reasons. It makes it difficult, you know, the technology, when those companies got so big, they could pour unbelievable, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars into coders and, mm-hmm. and people that are developing the technology. So therefore your technology is better. There is this constant tension. 230, because you asked me specifically, what does that mean? That allows a social platform by Facebook to not really be responsible for the content on their platform. When I publish an article on westernjournal.com, I'm responsible, okay? If I defame somebody, they can sue me for defamation. But something that's posted on Facebook, and even if it's, you know, defames someone, Facebook can't be held responsible. Mm-hmm. It gives them this shield, way to avoid litigation.
Floyd Brown with us, the book Big Tech Tyrants. If we can turn a little bit in the final moments of our conversation toward the addict teens portion of the subtitle of the book. What are the real dangers out there for children into teens about living in a society where social media is so prevalent, and as you mentioned previously, they're looking for information, they're grabbing personal data?
Yeah, so first of all, as a baby boomer, which I am, I learned to type on a typewriter in high school. Today, by age 4, most children are adept at a keyboard. Just think of that difference right there. And, you know, by 6 or 7, they have a mobile phone, which to me, wow, kids at 6 or 7 have a mobile phone. And so, you know, they have the ability to go online. By 10 or 11, they're consuming hours of content on Facebook video and YouTube. Maybe it keeps their parents happy because they're not bothering their parents, but a lot of the content on these platforms is totally inappropriate for kids that age. Interestingly enough, with webcams, a lot of them are live streaming video by 15 or 16. And the real problem is they don't understand that some of the things that they do online can stick with them. They don't understand the consequences of that online behavior. And in fact, a lot of them are stripping naked online in video. And, you know, I guess they think it's safe because they're only broadcasting to their friends. But in my book, I go into some rather gruesome stories about how people have had those videos taken. They've been used, you know, against a 15 or 16-year-old revenge porn. Mm-hmm. You know, your deepest secrets are there in that online profile. So those are some of the issues. Also, you have to understand that when they were designing the smartphone, the people from Silicon Valley took a short flight over to Las Vegas, and all of the beeps and noises and sounds and what you look at was all developed by the gaming industry mm-hmm. to addict people to slot machines. So we're literally addicted to these phones. They're beeping at us all the time. They're, you know, giving us notifications. All of that technology, including the sounds, was developed for slot machines. And if you think about it, they're really addictive.
Yeah.
You know, it's I just advocate to people, unplug.
Mm-hmm.
Go to coffee with someone. Go to church. Just talk to someone. You don't have to just text them. You can actually speak to them. And so that's one of the things I really encourage people to do is just, hey, get to know somebody.
Floyd Brown, author of Big Tech Tyrants, How Silicon Valley's Stealth Practices Addict Teens, Silence Speech, and Steal Your Privacy. Floyd, thanks so much for joining us here on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Great to be with you.
Up next, we talk with Kelly Scott Franklin from Hillsdale's English Department about Act 3 of King Lear. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5 at 1460 AM.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. In response to COVID-19, NFI has scheduled online Zoom classroom sessions for CCW and CCW renewal. These online courses will be followed up with live fire range training, which will complete your certification. Follow-on range training is done with the same great instructors you've come to know and love. Give us a call today at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Orchard Nutrition Center has exclusive special offers now through the 4th of July. We carry organic, non-GMO, and clean, healthy products and we're working to keep our community safe. We offer contactless shopping, social distancing, and we are sanitizing. Our staff, which includes certified nutritionists, take pride in helping you make informed product choices. We look forward to continuing to serve your family for many more years to come. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
Hi, I'm Arielle Winter. If you're anything like me, your pets are not only your best friends, they're part of your family. American Humane, which has been rescuing animals like Cleo here for more than 100 years, has life-saving tips that can make a big difference in a disaster. When disaster strikes, you want to protect your whole family, including your pets. To help keep your family safe and help our best friends in their worst times, find tips at AmericanHumane.org.
Welcome back to the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I'm Scott Bertram. You can follow the show on Twitter, at Hillsdale Radio. We're joined by Dr. Kelly Scott Franklin, Assistant Professor of English at Hillsdale College. Dr. Franklin, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So we're trying something a little bit new. I think it's going to be good. I think it's going to work. Looking at great moments in great works, maybe like the hinge, the fulcrum, the really important moments in these great works. And so today we speak of Act 3 in King Lear from William Shakespeare. Tell us first basic story, outline of King Lear.
Yeah, Shakespeare writes the tragedy of King Lear about the king, Lear, king of Britain, king of pagan Britain, who's very old, and it seems very foolish. And the play opens with his division of his kingdom among his three daughters. Right away, Elizabethan and English audiences are not happy about that idea. To divide your kingdom is great folly. He creates this sort of love test where he asks his daughters, well, how much do you love me? And then I'll give you part of the kingdom based on that. And his two daughters, Goneril and Regan, flatter him, you know, exceptionally. They get their chunks of land. And Cordelia, in some ways the heroine of the tale, of the play, refused to play the game. She won't play that game, and she says, I'll love and be silent. And in his wrath at this, he banishes her, he disowns her, marries her off to the King of France without a dowry. His advisor, Kent, tries to step in. He banishes him and basically kicks out of his life the two people that are the most loyal to him. Now that the kingdom is run by his wicked two daughters, Goneril and Regan, he's relying on their hospitality, but they're not so hospitable. And by the time we get to Act 3, they have kicked him out of the castle into a storm. And he is, again, we got to think about Lear. He's probably in his 80s. He's an 80-year-old man, not perhaps the sanest or calmest person, and he's starting to go a little bit mad. He's out there in this terrific storm. Shakespeare sets it in a terrific storm. He's there's a civil war, and he and his daughter Cordelia are imprisoned, and the villain, one of the several villains of the play, Edmund the Bastard, has Cordelia killed. And so Lear ends the play essentially dying of grief at the loss of his kingdom, his sanity, his daughter. Mm-hmm. And the play closes, which is the classic Shakespearean tragedy. The stage is heaped with bodies. Okay.
So the climax of King Lear really happens in the storm scene in Act 3.
That's how I teach it anyway, yeah.
So what happens there?
Well, he's out there. It's just a great scene. The act is a great scene to set this this breakdown of a man. His mental breakdown, his emotional breakdown, in this terrific storm. In some ways, it mirrors his loss of sanity is kind of reflected in the weather. And there in the heath, you know, he's there, and he starts to go crazy. He starts to realize which of his daughters was in fact loyal, and which ones weren't. And what happens is a change, perhaps the first real change in Lear up to that point at this Act 3. And he starts to change because of his suffering. Right? He starts to change because of everything being stripped away. In some ways, this is a kind of universal trope. We see this in a lot of works. when a character hits that rock bottom, mm-hmm. when a character loses everything, that's when they change for the better. That's when, like, action happens. That's when growth happens. And the same is true for Shakespeare in King Lear. Lear is out there in the storm, and he turns – this is the moment for me. He turns to his fool, sort of one of the last few people that has remained loyal to him. And they're soaked to the skin. At some point, I think a little bit later, Lear has started to, like, strip off his clothes. So he's going crazy. He's naked in the storm. And he turns to his fool and he says, Inboy, you go first. They found this little hut. He said, well, you go first, you houseless poverty. Nay, get thee in. I'll pray and then I'll sleep. So anytime Shakespeare says somebody's praying, we can have heads up. Okay, so King Lear has not done a lot of praying up to this point.
Right.
He says, I'll stay out here in the storm. You go on in and I'll pray and then I'll sleep. And he gives this absolutely magnificent soliloquy, meditating on the homeless people in his kingdom, on the poor and the homeless. He says, poor naked wretches, wheresoe'er you are, that by the pelting of this pitiless storm, how shall your houseless heads and unfed sides, your looped and windowed raggedness, defend you from seasons such as these? And this is a terrific line. He says, oh, I have taken too little care of this. It's this, like, moment of self-knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
In his 80s, it's not too late. For Shakespeare, for the great writers, you're never too old for conversion, for change. Until you're dead, change is always possible. And he says, I've taken too little care of this. I've been a bad king. And then he says, well, what I think is the greatest few lines in the entire play. He says, take physic, pomp. And what he means there is medicine. Physic is medicine. Take your medicine, you mighty ones of the world. Expose thyself to feel what wretches feel, that thou mayest shake the superflux to them and show the heavens more just. It's a startling statement, one that I really like try to make my students meditate on. In what way is suffering medicine? What does that mean? How is it that suffering could be medicine? I just think that's something I always want my students to be asking.
I guess what doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Right,
it's the
right.
Very, very, you know, basic way of explaining what we have here is the king who is experiencing the self-actualization and the moral growth, but it only happens because of everything that had happened leading up to this point.
That's right. And he's able to look at his fool, and he says in another place, how dost thou, boy? Art cold? Are you cold and wet? And he says, I'm cold myself. So what I always talk about with my students at this moment is, when has King Lear ever been cold in his life? Maybe never.
Yeah.
If he's been king, he's always been swaddled up in royal robes, and they keep him warm, and he's got a fire burning. He's never been cold until he's in his 80s, and he's out in a storm, and he's homeless. And when he gets cold for the first time, he looks at someone else that's cold and says, oh, that's what it is. This is what it is to suffer. And so what it creates in him is a kind of radical empathy, the ability to feel what other people feel. Expose thyself to feel what wretches feel, he says. And that, for Lear, is medicine. Medicine for the soul. And for Shakespeare, the soul, the body's important for Shakespeare, but the soul, what happens inside our soul is of the highest importance.
Where do the emotions of mercy and compassion play here? Shakespeare wants the reader to feel badly for the king. He has banished his daughter. He is getting what he deserves in some ways. Then we see him with this moral growth. What do you think Shakespeare wanted the reader to take from that?
Yeah. Well, Aristotle says that the purpose of tragedy is to inspire pity and fear. One of the purposes of tragedy is to inspire pity and fear. And pity, because the punishment or the sufferings of the person is seem a little bit disproportionate to their crime. Like, it's a little bit, it's kind of intense. And mm-hmm. we're like, wow, that's maybe even more than, even though he's not a perfect guy, we don't really think this is just. For Shakespeare, suffering is not the worst thing. And this is sort of runs counter to basically how we all live our lives. I mean, you think about like the like the Tylenol industry or the painkiller. You go to the painkiller aisle at a pharmacy. It's like they have 50 different kinds of painkillers. We have an entire culture that seeks to flee pain and pursue pleasure. And Shakespeare says, if you're not at least experiencing some suffering in your life, your soul might be malformed. You might be like your spiritual being might be stunted.
Dr. Kelly Scott Franklin, assistant professor of English at Hillsdale College, talking about that moment, the important part, the important point in Act 3 of King Lear. Dr. Franklin, thanks for joining us here on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
That will wrap up this edition of the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. Our thanks to Ken Calvert from Hillsdale's History Department, telling us about the Roman models of government to which our founders looked. Floyd Brown, author of Big Tech Tyrants, and Kelly Scott Franklin from Hillsdale's English Department on Act 3 of King Lear. Remember, you can hear new episodes every week on this station. You also can find extended versions of some of our interviews or listen anytime to the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour podcast. Find it at SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spotify, or Amazon Podcasts. You can email the show at radiohour@hillsdale.edu. The assistant producer of the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour is Nate Esbenshade. To find out more about Hillsdale College, head to hillsdale.edu. Until next week, I'm Scott Bertram, and this has been the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Reading Electric Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill. And once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300. To find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Don't give up on your tomorrow. At Shasta College, we're offering more 8-week compressed classes, more online support, and more financial aid to help with life, not just textbooks and tuition. Whether it's online or in person, we'll continue to teach, encourage, and inspire, just like we have for over 70 years. Spring classes start January 19th. Enroll at shastacollege.edu. Start your tomorrow today.
Hey guys, I'm Bob the Drop. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier. The boy was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge.
PJI and local affiliate attorneys have recently filed briefs in court in Santa Clara County, California. Now, a preliminary injunction is sought to stop discrimination against houses of worship. Pray for freedom to prevail. Visit PJI.org.
We rely on your generous support to continue to provide justice for all. Learn more at PJI.org.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the comfy fit of a favorite pair of jeans and the tried and true performance of a new home comfort system from Rood. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance Heating and Air today at 530-221-2642.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the comfy fit of a favorite pair of jeans and the tried and true performance of a new home comfort system from Rood. So here's to reliability built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance Heating and Air today at 530-221-2642.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. If you're 50 or older, now is the time to schedule this life-saving test. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%, so stop making excuses and get screened. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
You know, it can be difficult to find a trustworthy, knowledgeable, and yet affordable auto repair shop. Advanced Automotive is a second-generation, locally owned, full-service repair shop serving our community since 1993, and one of only four AAA-approved auto repair shops in the Reading area. Advanced Automotive has a goal, and it's to keep it simple to have safe, reliable vehicles for our customers and our community. Call or come by to meet the crew who is here to serve you. 244-4423. Advanced Automotive. You know, it can be difficult to find a trustworthy, knowledgeable, and yet affordable auto repair shop. Advanced Automotive is a second-generation, locally owned, full-service repair shop serving our community since 1993, and one of only four AAA-approved auto repair shops in the Reading area. Advanced Automotive has a goal, and it's to keep it simple to have safe, reliable vehicles for our customers and our community. Call or come by to meet the crew who is here to serve you. 244-4423. Advanced Automotive.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441. Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.